We have kids here today for Children's Church. What? Okay. I know I probably don't need to tell you this, but life is a drama. Have you noticed? Some of us here this morning wish it weren't quite so much a drama, but it is. It's a drama of two things. We have drama of sadness, and we have drama of celebration. Both of those. We have a drama of despair. We have drama of hope. We have drama of grief. We have drama of joy. We have disappointments. We have dreams. Life is a series of what it seems like ups and downs. We prefer the ups. We'd rather not deal with the downs. But nonetheless, they are there, and they show us something. I want us to look this morning at one of the most dramatic scenes recorded in all of Scripture. It's a drama scene that involves the deepest sadness and the greatest celebration. It's been said that our heart is most revealed by two things: what makes us sad and what makes us glad reveals our heart. So take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter 5. And most people, not all, but most people kind of avoid this book. Not because they don't believe it, but because it's such a treasury of allegories that it causes our brain to get strained. And we sometimes want to avoid that, but I want to tell you, this is the culmination of the story. This is where it gets really good. So let us not be afraid of Revelation. It's a mystery, yes, but it's also a glorious conclusion to all that is. A conclusion that doesn't end, but keeps going. Wow, that's mysterious, isn't it? It really is. So John is the writer. God has been revealing to John these visions. Visions that we kind of scratch our heads going, huh? What is this all about? And there's a reason that it's made so mysteriously. And the reason is because God is a mysterious God. And His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And He wants us to be a thinking and anticipating people. And John is writing down what God is revealing to him. Now, John is not just having a bad dream here. Okay? You know, when I dream, my dreams are like totally wacky. I wake up and I go, where did that come from? Make no sense. The parts don't fit together. The people in the scenes of my dreams are just random. Like, I haven't thought of that person for, you know, ever. And they just come out wacky. And so I don't think God will ever speak to me through dreams because of my past experience. But He can if He wants to. So, but John is not having one of those dreams. In fact, he's not asleep at all. He's having a vision. He's wide awake. And God is literally putting on this show in front of his eyes. These images, these things that would tell the condition and even the future of mankind. And he's holding, in this vision, in this wide awake encounter with God, he sees this picture. It's a picture of God seated on his throne. And God is holding in his hands a scroll, a writing in scroll form. And a scroll that's sealed with seven seals. Now, I don't have... today I'm not going to talk on the idea of the numbers and what the numbers mean and all of that, although there's a lot of significant stuff here. Seven is a very significant number in Scripture. And I personally don't allow myself to get lost in numerology, because we can miss the mark sometimes if we're absorbed by that. But nonetheless, God uses some numbers as a symbol and a sign of who he is and what he does. So here's this picture. And this scroll is God's redemptive plan for the universe. That's what the scroll contains. Now, that's a lot. It contains a lot. It's an entire redemptive plan. And in that scroll is the culmination of all things that's ever been or ever will be. This is an important document in this vision. And a sovereign God overall holds that scroll. And in this picture, one of the angels asks the question of the ages. Who is worthy to take the scroll and break its seals? Now, this is not a sermon about what each seal is. That could be another sermon. But I just wanted to get a broad picture of what's happening here. So in Revelation 5, we're going to start at verse 1. Then I saw the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside of it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. And each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God, and from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." And then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. And they encircled the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders. And in a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. I think about that time, if I would have been John, my heart would have stopped that very moment. In awe and wonder and splendor that someone was worthy to open the scroll of life, the secrets of the universe, the work of God in all of history, the need of mankind, and the plan of redemption. Someone was found worthy. Who is worthy to hold the hope of all that is? Would you pray for my voice this morning? Lord, help me. Amen. Let's be alert to the fact that people want hope. They hope in something. People are grabbing hold of something in life and saying, maybe this will fill me. Maybe this will satisfy me. Maybe this will heal me or deliver me. People are always searching for some kind of hope. And the question that is presented this morning is, who is worthy to hold the hope of all mankind? There is none worthy in all of heaven, on earth, or the earth below, other than one, Christ Jesus the Lord, is worthy to hold the hope for all mankind. And people are searching. Who? What can possibly fulfill my life? They may not admit it, but that's the way they're living. And there appears in this moment to be no one worthy when we started this reading, no one worthy. And John, in the face of that despair of no one could be found, began to weep and weep and weep. It was so dramatic that his heart was broken. And if there's not one worthy to hold the scroll, if there's not one worthy to open its seals, if there's not one worthy to bring a culmination to all that God has promised, then the earth and all of its inhabitants are damned. It's worth weeping about. Literally, the hope of the universe is sitting in this moment and observing in this moment. And without that hope, there is nothing left but weeping and the gnashing of teeth. And one of the elders says this, John, you don't need to weep. See, our world is broken. It's lost. It's without hope. It's doomed and it's damned. Don't weep. Don't weep. Because there is one. There is one and only one who is worthy to rescue us. And he identifies this one as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, which is the Lion, is the strong one, able to defeat the sin of the world. Out of the plan of God through the line and tribe of Judah, the root of David, the one who is the conqueror. That's the Lion. Okay? If you've ever wondered, what is this whole lion business when it comes to Jesus? Because we see him in different lights, and one of those lights is the lion. He is the mighty conqueror. And if If we continue to study the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God who took on flesh, we also see that He is referred to as the Lamb of God. How can the Lion and the Lamb exist in unity? Because a lamb is defenseless. A lamb is subject to pain. How do they exist together? Because in order to conquer, He had to lay down His life. And so we see both of those pictures of Jesus here. And if we look at verse 6, it says, "And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw the Lamb as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out unto all the earth." And I just challenge you to think about the sevens of Scripture. It begins in Genesis. "And He went and He took the scroll from the right hand of Him who is seated on the throne. And He holds the plan of the hope of the universe in His hands." And the elders begin to sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And by Your blood You ransom people for God from every tribe, every language, every people, every nation. And You have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth." What is that? That is total, complete redemption, accomplished only by the Lion Lamb of God. So, why is He worthy? Well, He was the one willing to leave the glories of heaven. He was the one willing to come to the earth. He was the willing one to take on human, vulnerable flesh. He was the one willing to suffer again and again and again. He was willing to face injustice. He was willing to have His body beaten and tortured. He was willing to have His Father turn His face away from Him in disgrace. He was willing to die so that people could have hope. And He is worthy because He is the perfect Lamb of God that can redeem and set free. And what did that death do? That death ransomed people for God. You see, the drama of the universe is not the drama of bad health. It's not the drama of bad finances. It's not the drama of broken relationships here in families and associations. It's not the drama of sickness and suffering. The drama of humanity that is that human beings were made for a relationship with God, and they're living completely separate from God. That's the drama. It's a sad drama, isn't it? What we were made for, we're not a part of anymore. What we were designed to be, we can't be because we destroyed it. What God had intended for us in relationship to Him has been severed. That's the drama. That's the greatest drama right there. Yeah, we have issues. We have problems. We have things and circumstances that press on us and oppress us. But our biggest problem is being separated from God the Creator. That's the real drama of human existence. We were made for God. Let's get an understanding of this. We weren't made for our personal pleasure. We weren't made to take advantage of all of the stuff of the world which God has freely given us. We were made for God. Until we get that straight, we'll never understand living for God, knowing Him. Our humanity is found in living in a relationship of love and worship and service to God, for God, of God. Wake up, world! We were not created for ourselves. We were created for Him. We were made to live not for our glory, but for His glory. And it's unthinkable that we would live separated from God that we were created to commune with. That's just craziness. And so the Lamb came. And by His blood we were ransomed. We were bought back for God, to God, unto God. Bought back again. We were restored for community again. We were adopted as children again. And that's not all. He ransoms us so that we could be a kingdom of priests to our God and reign with Him forever. Woo! Wow! That's not just any job position. That's not flipping hamburgers at McDonald's. That we're to be priests with Him and reign forever. It's right there. That's the will and plan of God. Right there. If you're wondering, what is God's plan for me? That's it. That you might be restored to that. Oh, a restored, heartfelt, heart-lived relationship with God that goes on and on and on, win all glory and power and praise. That is the celebratory part of this passage. Remember I said there's two things. There's a drama happening in this vision. A drama of sadness and a drama of celebration. They're both there. Understand how depraved we are, how needy we are, and that there is no other way, and celebrate that Christ came. Whew! We've been given back our purpose of humanity through Christ. So the elders, they start singing. And when the elders start singing, the angels got jealous. And they started singing, and thousands of angels, and then pretty soon every living creature began singing. By the way, did you know that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and tongue will confess? And they all started gathering together and singing together, and the universe is in this chorus of one song. And the song is, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And they're singing and they're singing. It's getting louder and louder. Think of that scene before John, where everything in all of creation is singing one song. The noise must blow his mind at this point. The vibrations on his eardrums, the chill down his spine, and you can feel your heart begin to vibrate in such a setting, and you want more of this song because this song is about the glory of God and it's your only hope. And wow! One song, one power. I wonder why has God ordained for John to write this scene down for us? Why is it on the pages of Scripture? Well, here it is. So that you and I would start singing. Yeah, I don't care what kind of voice you got. Trained, untrained, on pitch, off pitch. I always thought, you know, I was trained to train people in music. And I always thought, I can teach anybody to sing. Till I met my father-in-law. Then I realized that I was biting off more than I could chew. It was bad. Okay? But Leonard would sit about right there in that second seat. and his lips were moving, his voice was going, and he didn't care what it sounded like or who heard him, because he was singing unto the Lamb who was slain from the foundations of the world to set him free. We have a song to sing, and the purpose this is recorded is that we'll start singing, and that we'll start singing now. We weren't made to wait for eternity. We're to start singing the song, no matter what our voice is like. It's not about our voice. It's about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are worthy to receive honor and blessing and glory and power. Go on, sing. Sing the song. Sing the one song. Sing it Monday morning when you're like, it's Monday morning. Sing the song. Sing it Tuesday afternoon when you think, I don't know if I'm going to make it through the rest of this week at this pace. Sing the song. Thursday evening, Saturday, don't stop singing. Just keep on singing the song. Sing the song. Get ready. Get your voice prepared. Get your spirit online. Get your heart and your emotions and your mind centered on the things of God and sing the song. And if every song that we sing starts with our heart, then listen, it's more than your voice that you're uttering. It's a heart cry before God. Everything about us should be singing this song. You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created, and they have their being. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory. Praise your holy name. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever and ever and ever. And I'm just not going to stop singing. Why? Because he is worthy. He's worthy. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter our opinion. Doesn't matter of all the worldly stuff we can say that really matters. None of that matters. What matters is there is one worthy to open the scroll. Our redemption. Our hope. So everything about us should be about singing this song. The way we approach... Do you mind if I get practical for just a minute? The way we approach our finances should be a song of the glory of the Lamb. Yep. The way we use our physical possessions should be a hymn to the glory of the Lamb. The way we invest our time and our energy and our abilities and our gifts should be a song to the glory of the Lamb. Husbands, the way you treat your wife should be a hymn to the glory of the Lamb. Wives, the way you respond to your husbands should be a hymn of the glory of the Lamb. Are we getting this yet? Workers, the way you do your work should be a hymn of glory to the Lamb. Students, the way you do your studies should be a hymn to the glory of the Lamb. Start singing the song. Keep singing the song in everything that you are, everything that you do, everything that makes you who you are. It should be a song to the Lamb. Glory. I will work to the glory of God. I will serve to the glory of God. I will handle my life to the glory of God. I will affect others to the glory of God. I will be an instrument in every way possible to the glory of the Lamb of God. Does that change our perspective just a bit? It better. It oughta. We ought to be sitting here and standing here going, whoa, I need to step it up a bit. I need to reach to a new level here. of understanding that my life is to be a life to the glory of the Lamb. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as unto the Lord, not unto men. Wow. Have you placed your hope? Have you placed your redemption in the hands of the Lion Lamb? Have you trusted Him for forgiveness? Do you intend to live for His glory? According to this, that's what it's all about. And this is a vision of those unto whom He will say, come and receive your inheritance, for I knew you. I knew you. You were all in for the glory of God. Come on in. Come in. That's a picture for those who have been redeemed, for those who have committed themselves to the glory of God. Because I'll tell you what, in heaven, there won't be any other options. There won't be options for glory of anything else. So if we don't get on board right now and say, my life is about the glory of God, how are we going to exist in heaven where there's no other options? Where the song will be so loud and clear and consistent that you're either in or you're not. It's bigger than just Jesus is my escape hatch. Now that's not going to cut it on the day of judgment. What's going to cut it is when we say Jesus is everything. The question that will be asked, I believe, from God will be this: what have you done with my son? The one worthy to break the seals and open the scroll. What have you done with him? That's going to be the question. And if we say, well, I went to church, I sang about him, it was right there in the book or on the screen or whatever we... Well, I gave some money once. And there aren't going to be any half-hearted answers that will enter heaven. Sorry. That's why the Bible says this, that not everyone who cries, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Do we understand that? Not all those who give lip service are going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But those whose hearts are all in for the glory of the Lamb of God, come on in. Yeah. It's exclusive. Do we know that? It's exclusive. And that's the picture that John was given to share with us. So what is our response? Well, I think our response has to be this: worship. Now, worship isn't something we do half-heartedly. It's something that we surrender ourselves to, where we lift Him up. The Apostle Paul said this, it is my desire that I become less and less and He become more and more. That's a picture of worship, a statement of worship. And we do that as we read His Word and meditate upon Him. We do that as we pray. We do that as we submit our will to His will. We worship when we share the good news with one another and others. We worship when we declare who He is and what He does. We worship when we exclaim that Jesus is Lord. We worship when we sing the song with our life. That's worship. And you see in this story, the elders just couldn't help themselves. When they realized that there was only one worthy of opening the scroll, they couldn't help themselves. They started worshiping God with their whole being. And the angels couldn't stand watching them do it, and they couldn't be a part of it, so they joined in. And then pretty soon every creature on the face of the earth cries that was began to sing the song, until the chorus rang so loud and clear that Christ was exalted as the ultimate one. That is to be our response. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm pierced to the heart with that this morning. How can I be that kind of worshiper? Not for a show, not for, you know, the entertainment of it, but my life. How can it exalt Jesus every minute of every day in all things? God, well up that song within me. Well it up within me so that I'm overflowing with the wonder of who You are and what You have done. That You are the only way and truth and life. And God, help me to engage You. You see, we can talk about engaging our community and our world and our neighbors and our friends and engaging community and all of that. But unless we've first engaged God, the other stuff is just not going to work. Bruce, I'm going to ask you to come if you would. And I was intending to be done sooner than this, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to go just a little bit longer. You'll get over it. Okay? You'll be okay, I promise. You'll be okay. But I asked Bruce if he would simply, in a very simple manner here, just help us to worship. Now we can do it, like I said, there's many forms of worship. But as we sing these two songs, and what happened was I turned on the radio. I'm not always one that wants noise going, even if I'm by myself, but for some reason I wanted the radio on yesterday. And I turned it on with this very thought in my mind. I'm preparing for Sunday. I wonder if God might give me something if I turn on Family Life Radio that would be usable. That is exactly what went through my head. And they played two songs in a row that sent me into a spirit of awe before God. And I said, that's what we're going to do. Would you engage God this morning in worship? Bruce, lead us through these songs. Sit. You can do whatever you feel is appropriate, but remember the song, Glory to the Lamb. powerful He is, the only one worthy to open the scroll and reveal the plan of redemption to all of mankind. How powerful is that? Thank you, God, for this revelation, the revelation of who You are. Worthy is